Welcome to the Vikings Voices podcast, sponsored by Hy-Vee. I'm your host, Elliot Nathan. Pleased to be joined by former Major League Baseball player, Minnesota Twin, Team USA member, St. Paul Saint, and current Augustana assistant coach and pitching coach, Caleb Thielbar. Caleb, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, good to be with you.
Caleb, you've had a great career at just 32, soon to be 33 in a couple weeks, but you still got a lot more chapters to write. Let's start from the beginning, growing up in Randolph, Minnesota, smaller community, around 500 people. I'm guessing you, like any other kid, just played sports to have fun. Tell us what it was like growing up in Randolph and when you kind of first started playing sports.
Yeah, 500's being generous, to be honest with you. I just grew up in town. When I really started playing a lot of sports is when a friend of mine moved to town in third grade, and we would get together every single day. I mean, in the summer, in the fall, in the spring, it didn't matter. I mean, we were over at each other's house every day, and we played everything. I mean, if there was something to be played in town, tennis, hockey, street hockey, you know, in the winter the pond would be frozen. Go over there, basketball, baseball in the backyard. I mean, everything, and it just kind of grew into a love of sports. When I was younger than that, my dad would come home from work and I'd pester him to go and hit me ground balls and pop flies in the backyard or catch for me or anything. I mean, he was obviously huge into it too. So it was kind of an easy thing to get him to do that. But just kind of grew from there and, you know, played basketball, baseball all throughout high school. And then, you know, obviously baseball in college and then professionally. But yeah, I mean, it all stems from when I was younger and the memories that were made back then.
And for our audience, Caleb and I are both, I'm 31, so we didn't have, you rode your bike to someone's house and dropped your bike off there and played. There wasn't cell phones or iPads or anything else around, so we didn't have much of a choice. Talk specifically about baseball. When did you kind of start maybe excelling at baseball, or others thought you were excelling, or baseball kind of take off and you thought, hey, I can play this in college, maybe I can play this beyond? Where along that journey did baseball kind of develop before you went to SDSU?
Well, I mean, I was always good at baseball. I guess I didn't really decide that I wanted to play in college until about, you know, 9th or 10th grade. I was pretty into basketball until then, and thought that might be what I wanted to do. But it ended up being the sport that I fell in love with as a young kid, and that was the one that ended up basically taking over at a certain point. And I really wasn't sure what level I was going to be going to. I was good in high school, but I wasn't like a big time prospect or anything. And I was honestly very fortunate to even get an opportunity at Division I school. Everything kind of fell into place with SDSU. Had just moved up, and they were bringing in all kinds of guys, and went to a prospect camp there, and it worked out from there. But it was one of those things where the pieces just kind of fell into place. It wasn't anything that was brought on by me being a great high school player or anything. You know, I was basically committed to a Division III school before that, so it wasn't like I was something special out of high school, and just kind of grew into it, I guess. I always had these dreams of going and playing professionally, but you never realize what kind of work you actually have to put into it until you get there.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand that even in college, but you know, we worked hard, we did all the things, you know, that we thought we could, and things ended up working out there too. Ended up basically teaching myself how to throw harder during college. You know, the weight room was obviously a big factor in it, and when really started taking that seriously is kind of when the velocity really jumped. And that was when the opportunity to play professionally actually became realistic.
And that came with the Brewers drafting you in the 18th round. you sign with the Brewers, but you get released and end up with the Saints in independent ball. What was that experience like, you know, going from, wow, you know, 18th round is relatively high. Maybe I have a chance here getting released, going to the Saints. And now you're thinking, well, what's my next step? What's my next, you know, what's the next path along this journey? What was that whole process like, you know, for you just, you know, being 22, 23 years old at that point?
Yeah, I think part of it was kind of just recommitting myself to actually getting better. Mm-hmm. After my first year in pro ball, I had a really, really good year. And I actually went back to college to finish my degree that fall. And as you can imagine, maybe a younger guy didn't really take, you know, maybe did a few too many extracurriculars and didn't take it as seriously as I probably should have. And the next year, the results showed. And I think it was just kind of one of those things where I got a real wake-up call and really went back to work that off season after I got released by the Brewers. And it was helpful because the Saints season starts a lot later, so I was able to train for a lot longer than I would have going into another spring training. And I think that really helped and kind of went back to what I was doing, you know, mechanically, throwing-wise before I had gotten drafted, that some of those things I'd gotten away from in the Brewer system, and just learning the work ethic again. Mm-hmm. and kind of just rededicating not only on the field but off the field too. I mean, to be successful in that you have to focus on what you're doing, you know, in your entire life. You can't be running around, you know. To be quite honest, you can't be running around at night. You can't be out all the time and think you're going to come to the ballpark and perform the next day. And it just doesn't work like that. So, just learning those things was really helpful. And really, I was fortunate to get another chance out of St. Paul, because I mean, a lot of people go there and they don't get that chance. But you know, I had a very supportive family, and that really, really helps. So. I have them to thank a lot for even supporting me through that, rather than, you know, everyone, you know, a lot of people get released from an affiliated team, don't get picked up, and just kind of hang it up and say that's good. But you know, I showed the couple years before that I could have some success in professional baseball, and I just wanted to really at least give it one more shot. I was still only 24, so was able to give it another shot, and thankfully the Twins saw something improved from the year before and gave me another chance.
Well, it worked out well. You spent around two years in the minor league system, played 17 games at AAA with the Minnesota Twins after they signed you, and then you get your big league call up on May 20th, 2013. Let's zoom in on that day. Do you have kind of a cool story? Did the AAA manager at the time say, did they play a prank on you? Did they do something fun? Did he just shake your hand and say, hey, you're going to the big leagues? What happened when you found you were getting the call up?
It was a pretty crazy day, because I didn't find out until about 12:30 that afternoon that I was going up, and I had to be in Atlanta from the middle of Pennsylvania at 7 o'clock for the game. And so, yeah, there was no prank. There was nothing. It was a decision that was made by the front office, you know, middle of the day. And I had to pack up my hotel room, get out of there, go to the stadium, pack my bags, and get on a flight. And I only got to the ballpark in Atlanta about 6:30. So I had to just kind of get ready, get something to eat, then go to the bullpen. I had to do my pregame throwing in the bullpen to get loose for the game, and then was in the seventh inning. So I mean, it was a really whirlwind day. You know, I got back to the hotel that night, and then it all hit, and it was pretty surreal at that point. But it was just a wild day. Not an easy process where you get told the night before and you have all night to think about it and get a good night's sleep. It just didn't work like that for me, but it worked out. I mean, it might have worked out for the better, not really getting a chance to think about it and just kind of getting thrown in there on the first night.
Yeah, I mean, he had two shutout innings, three strikeouts, pitched pretty well. But so you walk into Turner Field, your jersey's hanging up. At this point, it's 6:45 probably, and everyone's on the field or you know, finishing up their pregame routine. You didn't have any. You didn't have a chance to have a moment of holy wow. It was I got to get. You know, I got to start my routine because I could go in the fifth or sixth. You know, I could be playing in an hour. Was it just kind of, it was just such a whirlwind that you didn't even catch your breath till later?
Yeah, I mean, it helped that I had been in Major League camp that spring. So I at least knew the people on the team. Yeah. So that really helped.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, when I got to the clubhouse, everyone was already in their uniforms. I mean, they were getting ready to head out on the field. And it was nice because one of the veteran guys that I'd kind of gotten to know a little bit during spring training kind of took me aside and said, hey, just take your time, get something to eat, get yourself stretched out, and then come to the bullpen. You know, you're probably not going to have to pitch in the first couple innings. Yeah. So take your time and do what you need to do to get ready. And I think that was probably the most calming thing. And then, you know, the other thing he told me was just, you know, just keep pitching your game. You know, don't give these guys too much credit. Just keep doing what you do to get here, and everything will be okay. So it was nice to have a voice like that, kind of calming. But yeah, it was a crazy day, to say the least.
That's awesome. And you go on to pitch a Twins record 20 scoreless innings out of the bullpen in 2013. Were you professional athletes, you know, a lot of, you know, everyone's very confident in what they're able to do. Some show that more than others. Were you surprised at all by having that much success that quickly? Or did you know, hey, I knew I was going to do this. I just needed the opportunity. Where did you kind of fall along that spectrum with such a nice start to your major league career?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, there was, To get that many scoreless innings in a row, a lot of things had to bounce right. You know, you give up some line drives that are right at guys, and things kind of worked out a lot for those first 20 innings. But I mean, I'd been pitching well before that, so it was just kind of a continuation of what I'd been doing in the minor leagues, and was just fortunate that it kept going that long. Really, I mean, it ended up being. You know, what, a month and a half long, and really, when you get in a groove, you'd really have to just try to stay there. Yeah. I mean, mechanically, physically, you know, arm health, all that stuff is put together, and you have to, when you're feeling good, you just have to maintain that feeling as long as possible. And you know, I think the greats maintain it throughout their career, and you know, other guys, we just kind of have to. We kind of have to do it for as long as we can. Try to keep it together as long as possible, and that's kind of how it went. And you know, that year, the whole rest of the year ended up going really well, and it was a really fun year. But I guess overall, you know, I always thought that I had the ability to pitch there. It was just a matter of getting, like you said, getting the opportunity. But you know, that year was definitely above and beyond anything that I could have imagined.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sounds like when hard work, dedication, getting your mind and body right meets opportunity, you know, just kind of the perfect storm of things happening. All right, you played three seasons with the Twins. You played with some all-time Twins greats and alongside Joe Mauer, Morneau, Dozier, Glenn Perkins. I mean, the list can go on. Can you tell us a story from your time with the guys? Something, you know, it doesn't have to be those guys. Anyone on the team? Maybe it's a off day. Maybe it was a travel. So, was there any stories that stand out that you can share publicly that you look back and smile on, or you laugh about, or chuckle, or what happens in the clubhouse and the team plane stays on the clubhouse and the team plane?
Well, I mean, we were able to just go out and do some things that were things that I just never really thought I'd be able to do with the people that I did them. I mean, we just, you know, there was some times that, say, we'd go out fishing as a couple guys would go together, and those were some great memories.
That's cool.
But yeah, obviously, other than that, the stuff in the clubhouse obviously stays there, and and some other stuff too. But you know how that is. But I wish I had done a few more things. I was too concerned with a lot of, too concerned with the on the field stuff, and maybe didn't enjoy myself as much as I could have, off the field with some of the guys just doing whatever, hanging out and doing normal things. Yeah. I mean, the reality is everyone's a normal guy. Like, yeah. It's just, yeah. A lot of those guys are just blessed with unbelievable talent. So, yeah. They were very good to me. They were a lot of good people, and I'll remember that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's a cool experience, and I think when you get probably you're so caught up in trying to do well and sustain and take care of your body, it's I'm sure it's easy to look back now and say, well, you might have done things differently, but I think it worked out pretty well. You end up bouncing around. You played 3 years with Twins, bounce around for a couple different teams, go back to independent ball, and then you make your way into coaching at Augustana. Tell me, I know Coach Huber has mentioned that you guys have had a relationship before, before the last couple months. When did you find when did your relationship with Coach Huber start, and how did this opportunity at Augustana come together?
Yeah, I've known Coach Huber for, I guess I've known of him for a long time. We played against each other a lot when I was in college, and would come back and play in Minnesota amateur ball. And yeah. He was at DCTC at the time, so he was playing in my league in amateur baseball. So I actually played against him a decent amount. Never really got to know him there, but a couple of years ago when the opportunity opened up, we had talked, and it just wasn't the right time for me. Yeah. So that was kind of when the door was opened as far as getting to know him. And then this last summer, the time just seemed right this time. And, we talked a lot about philosophy and how we go about things, and the fit just worked. Mm-hmm. And he believes in a lot of the same things I do. He's willing to go with a lot of the technology stuff that I like and that we use here. And really willing to kind of just let us experiment and do the things that we want to do that we think are going to get our guys better. That's kind of thing. Whenever I approach him about something, he's like, "Well, do you think it's going to help us get better?" And then do it. I mean, so he's growth minded, and we just agree on a lot of things. So it really just worked out, and it's been really good so far.
Yeah, Coach Huber, obviously 2018 national champion, two-time NSIC champion, and more to come this year. Caleb, when you're working with a lot of the student athletes, I'm sure your story can resonate with them more than the guy that was the blue chip prospect and was drafted, in the first round and had a 20-year career. A lot of these guys are, maybe D3 guys or mid-major D1 guys that end up playing D2 ball. How much, when you're working with them, how much of your time is spent on mechanics, pitching philosophy, technology, versus you maybe, helping coach them along, teach them some of the off-field stuff that you talked about, hey, you got to work hard, you got to have your mind, body right. Is it 50-50? Is it a lot more mechanical based, and then you sprinkle in some of the other stuff, or what's kind of, tell us about working with the student athletes?
Yeah, I mean, the time at practice is mostly mechanical technology, throwing mechanics and pitch execution, sequencing, just different things that go into pitching. We do have some classroom time every now and then. That's kind of when I try to start digging into the deeper things.
Sure.
And really, we just kind of give them the tools that work. And however, it basically ends up being however good they want to be. I mean, it's the sky's the limit for a lot of guys, really. Yeah. There's a lot of guys that, frankly, there's a lot of guys everywhere. There's a lot of guys in A-ball. There's a lot of guys in the major leagues that, if they just worked harder at it, they'd be a lot better than they are.
Yeah.
And try to get the right guys here that yeah. that want to be hard workers and want to excel at their craft. But I mean, the reality is, I mean, we give them everything that we can, and mm-hmm. and it's really up to them at some point, and yeah. and that's the kind of thing that we like to instill in them. The everything off the field, we're gonna talk about it later today, in the classroom. There's so many things that go into being a good, not just a good baseball player, but a good athlete in general. Mm-hmm. That don't involve the actual sport itself. So, just trying to help them understand that, and I didn't really realize that until I was 28, 29 years old. So, getting it across to guys this age, you know, that's one thing. I mean, I don't know how receptive I would have been to it at that age either. But that's you try to do what you can to help, and wherever they take it, that's where it ends up going.
Well, one place you're going, one place you just got back from was Team USA, where you pitched in the Premier 12 tournament and the Olympic qualifiers. What was that experience like being with Team USA? Had the opportunity to pitch in some cool stadiums, I'm guessing, and work your way towards, you know, a chance at the Olympics. Was that enjoyable?
Yeah, it was. We had a great group of guys. It's just it's a different experience when you have USA on the jersey.
Yeah.
The name on the back doesn't matter anymore. It's all about just trying to compete and do what we can to qualify. Unfortunately, we didn't get it done. Yeah. But I mean, we had a great time together. It just didn't work out for us. Things didn't bounce the right way a couple times. It just didn't work, and it was disappointing. But at the same time, I mean, we put it all out there, and that's all you can really ask for. You put it all out there with a great group of guys, and sometimes it just doesn't work.
See the chips fall where they may. Now you're back with Augustana, getting ready to go to the DR, Dominican Republic, for a couple weeks, and then you actually signed a new deal with the Twins, so you'll be heading back out to Fort Myers. Right now your focus is helping Augustana get better in the DR and win some games down there, but I'm sure you got, you know, one eye on maybe making a return back to the major leagues. Is that fair to say to some degree?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm focused on helping these guys get better, and I think we're making some strides. We're definitely looking good this year, and I'll be here, and I'll take them through the start of the season, and you know they're looking good. I mean, it's like I've said before. I mean, a lot of this is based on how hard they've worked, and we have a great group of guys that's working really hard and doing the things that they need to do, and we're staying healthy. We're trying to program it right so that we stay healthy throughout the season, and it's been going well so far. So just trying to continue that trend as we start now, you know, putting a little more intent, getting off the mound. You know, it gets a lot more stressful on the arm. So hopefully we're able to stay healthy and have another productive year here, because there's definitely the potential for that. Well, at the same time, I'm doing some training as well. So hopefully, you know, they can see that too. You can see, hopefully I can show them, you know, kind of a work, you know, what it takes to get to that next level, because a lot of these guys have those aspirations. So hopefully they're able to work hard here and have good years here. But, you know, the ones that really want to move on, I mean, they have to realize that the opportunity out of here is there. So it's a fun thing to do, and I hope that they're able to reach their goals if that is one of them.
And they're certainly led by a great leader in yourself, Coach Tim Huber, and also Clay as well, Clay Collison. Great staff all the way around. Ton of great coaches that have come through Augustana and helped build this program over the last 20 years or so. So, Caleb, thanks for joining us today on the Vikings Voices podcast, and best of luck in your future adventures, and hopefully we can keep you as an Augustana Viking, whether it's this year or down the road.
Absolutely. It's good to be with you.
Thanks. That's all for the Vikings Voices podcast.